I'm going to talk to you about faith infections today. And today, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about negativity, how that infects your faith. And today, we're going to talk about fear, how fear would dislodge what God wants to do in your life. Fear. Anybody ever had any fear? We all have. And it depends on the magnitude of the threat against you, of the fear level. Do you understand? And you got to understand that a little bit to understand how you respond to that fear. There's a healthy fear. There's a fear that's a reverence for God. You and I ought to fear God. Not in a dreadful kind of way, but in an honoring kind of way. A reverence kind of way. Because here's the deal. One day we're all going to stand before him. And we're going to give an account. You know what he tells us we're going to give an account of? Every word. How many words would you like to buy back in your lifetime? Woo, a few. 100. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have to stand before God and give an account before him. And that's why it's healthy to have a reverence fear. Because you know, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Because sometimes I can think of things that aren't very good to do to people who have done me wrong. And I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad for their sake I'm saved. I hope you understand that. The people around you ought to be blessed because you're saved. Because you have a healthy reverence for God. In Psalm 111, verse 10, it says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... Anybody need any wisdom? Begin to reverence God with every day of your life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Who is that? That's God. God does that. And so we should reverence God. We should honor God. Amen? Honor him. Now, the beauty of it is this. With healthy fear, with a reverence from God, comes some amazing blessings into our lives. Glory to God. Look at it. In Psalm 34, verse 9, he says this. The fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack... Excuse me, did he really say that? Lack nothing. Those who fear the Lord lack nothing. Glory to God. No, what's he say? For the saints who fear the Lord... You know, there's a lot of sinners fear the Lord, but not enough. Now, if you don't know the Lord today, you ought to know the Lord. Because the wages of sin is death, and he has the power to throw you into hell. Well, I don't believe in a God who throws you. You know, you throw yourself there by the choice you make. When you reject Jesus, you're rejecting God's provision. It's like the Christmas package is sitting under the tree and you choose not to open it. And God says, because you won't accept my gift, you're making a choice of where you want to spend eternity. Because if you had a reverence for me, you would honor the gift I have given. So you need to receive Jesus. You need to know him. Because why? Because one day you're going to stand before him. And you know what he wants to say to you? Come into my place that I prepared for you. Glory to God. Now think about that for a moment. God took 6 days to make heaven and earth. He's been working on heaven for 2,000 plus years. That's why the Bible says this, no eye can imagine, no mind can imagine, no eye has seen what God has prepared for those who love him. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, heaven is going to be breathtaking. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him, lack nothing. Lack nothing. God knows how to take care of that. So I've invited someone to help me preach this message today. Emma, would you join me please up here on this platform? Just right here you go. And it just, Emma preached a message at Fine Arts about fear. And I want you to hear what she has. Would you welcome Emma Stewart to...
There we go. Okay. Start over. When I was younger, I used to always sleep with a nightlight on. And you can probably guess why. It was because I was afraid of the dark. There were no ifs, no buts, no anything. I always had to have it on at night. But as I got older, I started to try and stop using it because I thought it was childish. So I turned it off. It was going fine for a while, but one night, as I lay down on my bed, I started to feel uneasy. The glow coming from under my door cast shadows on the walls, and for a while, I often had a hard time falling asleep at night. Sometimes I would have bad dreams and wake up scared and even sweating. And so one night, I decided it had to stop. I could not take the darkness. I could not take the fear anymore. And as soon as I flipped on that little switch and light flooded into the room, I felt relief, and the fear and uneasiness that had piled on my shoulders for so long finally lifted. And that night, for the first time in a long time, I was able to fall asleep feeling safe and secure. Now, the point of this sermon is not to convince you to sleep with the nightlight on, but I want to use it to represent something. Those shapes and shadows in my room were not going to hurt me, even if they seemed like they might. But there is something in this world that is real and dangerous and can hurt you. Think of the darkness in my room as Satan. Think of the light from my nightlight as God. When we think we can do everything on our own and live our lives by ourselves, saying that we don't need God, and we separate ourselves from him, that's when the darkness floods in. For a while, you may think that you're doing fine, but pretty soon, you start getting filled with uneasiness and fear and start believing the lies that you're constantly getting told by the enemy. And at some point, you may think that you're stuck, that you can't escape the blinding darkness has overcome you. But I want to tell you, there is a way out. The moment you cry out to God for help, God's light will flood in, just like the nightlight in my story. He will relieve you of your stress, of your worry, of your fear, of your doubt. So now let's talk about us as humans. It's part of the human nature to want to feel secure. We don't want things to move. We don't want things to change. We don't want things to abandon us or to let us fall. We want to be able to rely on something that will make us feel safe and secure. For example, what's the first thing you do before you get on a zip line? You put on a harness, right? And once you get it on, you feel secure because you know it's not going to move. It's not going to change. It's not going to let you fall. Now think of God. If you're tired, weary, need rest, need someone to rely on, God is there. And when God rescues you from where you're at, he will stay there. Who of you knows what immutable means? It means that God does not change. He is always the same. God does not change. He doesn't move. We can rely on him. God is our harness. And we can rely on God to be our harness even when the darkness comes in. And how do we know that? John 16:33 says, "In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world." The Bible also says that darkness lives in the world. If darkness lives in the world and God has already overcome the world, then that means he's already overcome the darkness.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. If you don't take away anything else, I want you to remember this. Because God has already overcome the world, he has already overcome the darkness. And that's why we don't need to be afraid of the darkness. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And sometimes when we're in the darkness, we start getting afraid. We start getting fearful because we can't see God. Maybe that's because you're not looking for him. Maybe that's because you're focused on your surroundings, of the darkness surrounding you, that you don't see him. And so we start crying out to God, God, why aren't you here? God, I want you to be here with me. But he is. He's right there. And all we have to do is ask. Matthew 7:7, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God is waiting for you with arms wide open. He's waiting. He's waiting for your call, your plea for help. Psalm 18:28, for it is you who lights my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. And if you think about it, God's already taken the first step. He's already taken that first step by sending Jesus, his son, who says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And all we have to do is take the second step and ask. All we have to do is ask. So today, I want you to decide something. If you're just sitting in the darkness, what are you going to do? Are you just going to keep on living there in the darkness? Fearful, afraid, scared, frustrated? Or will you take the courage enough to humble yourself, to ask God to flick that little switch and let his light come in? Thank you.
I guess we should close in prayer now. Is that not awesome?
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. That's one of our Bible quizzers.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Emma. Fear. Someone told me this past week, fear is the false evidence that appears real. Unhealthy fear. Unhealthy fear is full of dread. You live dreadful. Do you understand? You're afraid of everything. Fear, you're threatened by everything. You're worrying about everything. Now, can I tell you, there is a healthy worry. There's a healthy fear. But sometimes we can get overwhelmed with all of the things I've just mentioned. And the answer to that is this: God's love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. You see, fear steals from you. It robs you. And all of us know this, because I don't know about you, but when I'm fearful, it's hard to be joyful. When I'm fearful, it's hard to be peaceful. When I'm fearful, it's hard to rest in his security. You see, fear adds things to our life that are not helpful. Worry. Anybody need to worry more? Anxiety, stress, it's killing us. Stress, threats, living with threats. You see, everything is a threat. Do you see how he shook my hand? Mm-hmm. Do you see the way they looked at me? I can't believe the way they pulled out in front of me. They're after me. Did you see that turn signal? It was pointing right at me. I mean, it's a terrible thing how fear can snowball into an avalanche that paralyzes you from living life to your full potential. And the enemy knows that. The enemy masquerades as the angel of light to try to convince you to fear things you don't need to fear. That's how he operates. Well, what causes this place of unhealthy fear in our lives? Sometimes it's the past wounds we've had. It's the father who had an adulterous affair. And now every time your husband walks out the door, you're fearful. It's the mama who left you. And now you're fearful. Past wounds can be a terrible agitation in relationship to fear. Unhealed hurts in our lives. Healed. I'm telling you, healing comes through forgiveness. First, you receive his forgiveness, and then because you have been forgiven, you have the ability to forgive others. Sometimes we get that backwards. We want to try to forgive without his forgiveness. And that's almost an impossibility because your forgiveness always vomits back up the wound, the pain. Fear produces uncontrolled thoughts. Suspicious. Fear is suspicious. Fear is full of dread. Fear says, I can't. But faith says, I can do all things. Philippians 4:13, listen, I can do all things because of Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I want you to know this. I believe with all my heart, on the other side of your fear is his victory. On the other side of your fear is his victory. Conquering fear begins by knowing God. By knowing God. Knowing God allows you to embrace life. That's why Jesus says this, I've come to give you abundant life. See, the problem is I've met too many Christians who have failed to embrace the life God gives, and they hold on to the fear of yesterday, and it imprisons their tomorrows. Can I tell you? Knowing God is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing God is the beginning of freedom. Freedom in him. You see, embracing God, knowing God, takes the threat out of our lives. There was a time in the Old Testament, listen to this, Solomon had come to the place where he's building the temple of God, and David was the warrior king, you know, and he made peace all around so Solomon could build a temple. And in 1 Kings chapter 5, he says this in verse 4, but now the Lord my God has given me peace on every side so that there is neither adversary or misfortune. One translation says, there's no threats around me. Did you hear what God had done for King Solomon? He brought him peace on every side. Peace over your marriage. Peace over your children. Peace over your job. Peace over your life. Peace over travel. Peace over... He's good about bringing his peace when we trust him. Amen? You see, love, his love, the knowledge of it allows you to walk in freedom because his love covers. It covers all my past sins. It covers all my past woundedness. It covers. His love covers. His love protects. Do you understand how protecting the love of God is? That I don't have to fear driving out of the parking lot today. I don't have to worry about this or that or that. Because why? There is a God in heaven who knows how to protect me. Yes. Hallelujah. His love not only protects and covers, but it has preparing our future. You know, I know some people who don't want anything to change because they know what they have right now. And to accept change means they don't understand. They don't know what's coming. They're fearful of the future. Can I tell you something? God has the future. And when God has you, you're not afraid of what's coming tomorrow. Amen? And even if adversity comes, guess who's with you? God. He made the promise to never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, will hard times come? Yes. Will unexpected things happen? Yes. But listen to me. His love knows how to protect you and make you victorious in spite of. Glory to God. Amen. His love has taken care of my past. His love, embraced, cancels all fear. His love, secure in His love. It's like the harness that Emma was talking about. Anybody want to go zip lining today? Well, you know, I couldn't talk some of you into that. But don't walk out of here without being zipped up with Jesus. Do you understand that? Knowing He's got everything under control. Did you hear what that scripture says? To be perfected in His love. That whole idea is about to bring to completion, to advance, to be finished. Glory to God. How many of you know when your time's up, your time's up? I bumped into somebody this past week, and I threw them a little curve. They said, I said, well, how you doing? Well, any day above ground's a good thing. And I looked at him, I says, you know, for me, even when I'm in the ground, it's going to be a good day. You should try that. It's a great opportunity to witness, man, I'm telling you. Because I know who has my eternity. Hallelujah. Death is not something to be afraid of. Hallelujah. It's just the gateway to be with my Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, because His perfect love cast out fear. What kind of fear? All fear. His love drives out fear. Fear cannot exist in His complete, full, real love. This means perfect love harbors no suspicion, can be free, has no dread of tomorrow, because He's got it all in His hands. And guess who else is in His hands? Me. I hope you can say that this morning, that you are in His care. Can I tell you, fear will paralyze you. It will stop you in your tracks, and the enemy knows that. Love can set you free. Amen. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13. If the worship team can come back to the platform, please. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 15. It says this: the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. Is that not the most awesome verse you've read all morning? Well, almost. Huh? Can we read that together? Can we just read that together right there? Listen to this. Listen to this.
The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you feel any harm.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand with me right now. Stand with me right now. So on Monday night at 6:30, we pray the scripture. And I would encourage you to come. Last week we had a crowd here. Well, I considered it a crowd. It was bigger than normal. It was great. 6:30. All right? Listen. And this is kind of what we do. We take the scripture and we pray or praise it. Okay? So that's what I want you to do right now. And look at the first line. What does it say? The Lord has taken away your punishment. How many of you think that's a good thing? Huh? Because what did you deserve? Punishment. Why don't you just thank God right now for taking away your punishment? Would you just thank him right now for taking... Lord, we just want to take a moment right now in this service and thank you for taking away our punishment, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that your nails were really our nails, Lord. God, your stripes were really our stripes, Lord. You took upon yourself our punishment, Lord. While we were yet sinners, you died for us, Lord. And we praise you and thank you, Lord God, for taking our punishment, Lord. We don't take that lightly and we don't ever want to forget it, Lord. We always want to remember the death of our Savior, Lord. Because in that death, Lord, you took our punishment, Lord. We bless you and praise you and thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. He has turned back our enemy. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, for defeating the enemy, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of those things I can't take care of, Lord. I know the enemy comes in like a flood, Lord, but you promised to take care of that enemy, Lord. There's nothing for me to fear in darkness, Lord. There's nothing for me to fear in what the enemy can do to me, Lord, because you have vanquished the power of darkness, Lord. You have put under your foot through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and crushed the domain of darkness, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that the enemy has been defeated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Lord, I want to thank you for being with me today. Won't you just thank Jesus for being with you today? God, I just want to bless you. Thank you for being with me, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this journey you've taken me on, Lord. Oh, since I was a young man, Lord, you lifted me up out of the miry clay, Lord, and you set my feet on a path, Lord, that's not going backward, but it's running forward, Lord. Hallelujah! Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Never again, Lord, will we fear any harm, Lord, because of your love, Lord. Your love that has borne our punishment. Your love, Lord, that has vanquished the enemy, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for dismantling fear in my life this morning, Lord. This morning, Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you recognize there's an unreasonable amount of dread, worry, fear, and threat that's going on in your life from the enemy. And you need his love to swallow all that up. You need his love just to fall on you. As Ben sings a song, I want you to just come and stand before him right now. And let his love be lavished on you. Let his love cover right now all the enemies tried to stir up in your life. Would you let him do that perfect work in you to bring to completion that he wants to do today?